Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. We are live today at Fitness 1440, where once again they are celebrating their one-year anniversary. And trust me, you can tell people are getting off work because the treadmills are locked and loaded with people rolling on it. But here at Fitness 1440, you can come in today, sign up, $14.40 total. That's it. Walk in with $14.40 and walk out with a membership. And it is a great gym that we are at today, Floyd, to the Titans, who won a great game yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was a great game. And Chris Sanders, who's going to join us on Wednesday like he does every Wednesday, Chris and I were texting yesterday during the game. And there were all these moments where the Titans needed to make a play, or they needed to make an answer, or they needed to, and they did every time, it felt like. We talked about the big drive. You're down 7-6 after Russell scores. Titans kick a field goal to take a lead at the half. Seattle scores a touchdown to make it a one-possession game. You move right down the field, score a touchdown to get that cushion back. The Titans answered. And I want to go to the coaching, to Mike Mularkey, and I want to give him, and I don't give out the game balls, but if I had to give out a game ball, he would get one of my game balls for the way the Titans played yesterday. They stuck to their identity. They believed they could win. They had a good game plan. They had good play calling. They didn't lose their composure, even though it was hot, and the Seahawks were trying to bait them into losing their composure. I don't think Mike Mularkey's getting enough credit for how well he coached yesterday for the Titans. But I'll say this, I have almost nothing to complain about from a coaching standpoint. And that must mean that he did a great job. What do you think about Mike Mularkey right now and the way that he has coached the Titans this season specifically, and what it kind of, and how it manifested itself in yesterday's game?
Well, I think it's always the same. If he was going to get blame, if they came out and weren't cranked up, ready to go, then he ought to get praised when they are, because they certainly were yesterday. I think they were focused. I think they were conditioned. I think they were primed. I think they had a great vision on what they were going to have to do to win. And I think they stuck to that. I mean, which was, we've seen, and we talked about Jacksonville last week, about how they changed at halftime. That wasn't going to happen to the Titans. So, yeah, I mean, I think he deserves a lot of credit, and all the staff. I mean, I thought it was that this team was one of the better prepared teams that we've seen in the last little bit. I mean, they were ready for this game.
I thought, too, like one of the plays where I just look at the coaching and I say, that was some great, great coaching, was when the Titans, sitting there as they're trying to drive late in the football game, and the Titans are coming up with, you know, a great series for Henry, and then Murray comes in and they run a great series with him. And I said to myself, I go, this is so much, it's so hard early in the game when Murray and Henry are getting 1 or 2 yards and they're not going anywhere to try to abandon the run a little bit. And they did it against Oakland, but they didn't do it this week. They were okay with punting. They were okay with punt returns. They were okay, and that's where I felt like they coached a great game. Even Brett Kern, the special teams, had one huge mistake, the Fluellen block in the back. Other than that, special teams was great on Sunday. And I just look at the coaching and I say to myself, you know, people, if they had lost a game like this, the way that the Seahawks did or something like that, they'd be all over Mike. People were unhappy with Mike when they lost the Raider game. And I had a lot of questions about some of the things Mike did in the Raider game, but those same people probably aren't coming out today and saying, hey, Mike Mularkey obviously had this team ready to play. This team did not crack under adversity. They didn't bow down to the bully Seahawks. They didn't fall into Richard Sherman's trap. They had bad calls go against them to take touchdowns off the board, didn't rattle them, and they're not going to give the credit to the coach. Whereas I'm going to look here and say, if I'm going to question the coach when I feel like he needs to be questioned, I'm also going to give the coach a lot of credit, because that team had a mentality about them, an attitude about them that the Mike Munchak Titans never had, that the Ken Whisenhunt Titans certainly never had, and that for the most part, the Jeff Fisher Titans, after all the guys you brought in left, didn't have either. So I think there needs to be some credit given to that attitude and that commitment that they had. Just like we gave it to Peter Laviolette when the Predators did what they did in the playoffs, I think we need to give some credit to Mike Mularkey and the way that they coached yesterday.
It was special. They did the game plan, like I said. I mean, everything about it was big time.
Now, now going back to last year, Mike's not a better coach this year than he was last year, or he's not a different coach from last year to this year. Why are the things that you know he wants to get done, why are those starting to work now?
Well, the players are better. It always boils down to the players, and the players are better. I mean, instead of you running that little 24-yard touchdown pass to Smith, you were running it to
Fasano.
Yes, probably not the same impact.
Can I tell you one player on the team that from last year to this year has totally changed the Titans? Completely changed every game they've played in. Adoree Jackson. It got to the point to where Seattle wasn't even pretending to punt to him. And that's the same thing Jacksonville did last week. After he broke off that big punt return against Jacksonville, every punt started going out of bounds at the 45-yard line. He helps you win field position games because they're so afraid to kick it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is a great player. And I think he's coming along real well as a corner. And I think there is some truth to that. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025, Reaction Monday. Let's just make sure to give credit to the coach when the coach deserves credit, if we're going to be hard on the coach when the coach does not. Narina is going to start us off here this hour. What's up, Narina?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
All right, so me and you are around the same age, and I just want to talk about how you keep mentioning the Titans of the old. And the thing that I see with this Titans team now is, I was getting kind of scared towards the middle when it started to go into the half because, oh, man, here come the Seahawks, right? They're going to equal it out. And I knew that we were going to win that game when we got the field goal because they treated every down as a must. Last year's Titans, they could be up by 20 points. And then to me, it seems like they kind of wanted to relax. Like, oh, we got this, right? It's just the Jags or it's just, you know, the Colts or whatever. And they'd lose. With this team, I feel like they know you got to get every first down. Because it's never going to be sure. We're good, but let's not leave it to the other team to come back and prove that they're a little bit better.
Narina, I think you could not be more right. I appreciate your call, and you are dead on. That attitude, talk about commitment. I mean, it was almost like last year in a game like this, they would wait for Russell Wilson to come back into the ball game, and they'd wait for something to get screwed up, and they'd wait to lose the game. And this team didn't wait to lose the game.
I think you see that on a weekly basis. I think you saw it this week when Florida beat Kentucky. I think you saw it when Penn State beat Iowa. I think you saw it there three or four games. Play of the game, what's going to happen? What do you expect to happen? If you're Iowa, you're going, oh, God, please don't let them score. Please don't. If you're Penn State, you're one of those players, you're saying, hey, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I want to go. I'm going to score this touchdown and beat them. And I think you see that, you know, week in, week out, time and time again. And 90% of it, 95% of it is, you know, experience where you've been and what you believe.
Well, Chris Sanders and I were texting back and forth during the game. Former Titans receiver back from the good old days who always joins us on Wednesday. And I don't want to take any of Chris's thunder away from when he joins us on Wednesday, but he said to me at some point when the Titans took a 16-point lead and then the Seahawks scored, Chris texted me and said, this will show if the Titans are mature enough to win this ballgame, this upcoming series. And on the first play, DeMarco Murray goes 75 yards for a touchdown. And he said that the defense and that type of attitude – of when you needed to get points on a series and getting 75 yards the next play, he said, we saw a defense and a team that has matured. That means they are learning how to win.
Well, that was that, and that gets back to that drive just before halftime for the field goal, how big that was.
Oh, that was
for the
so
same
big.
Reason. You know, for the same, you didn't want to have to go inside, go into halftime after all that work, after all that effort, and be behind. And so they fixed it.
And I don't want to take away from that because I know I'm sitting there. I felt like when Adoree Jackson ran the ball into the end zone, I said, Titans going to win this game. Because being up at that point 13-0, the Seahawks can't get a first down, and you know the Titans are only going to lick their chops. So then that gets taken off the board, and then Seattle comes down, scores a touchdown, and now I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, all the progress you made in that first half was for nothing because Seattle's winning the ball game. And when you kick the field goal to go ahead 9-7, at least you could hang your head on, hey, they're leading at the half.
Sure.
All that work wasn't
big.
For nothing.
Yeah, that's big.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get right back to the phones on that big Titan win. I just want to remind everybody, we're going to be critical of the coach, which we are critical of coaches when they need to be, when you need to be critical, i.e. Tennessee this past weekend. We will give credit where credit is due. I thought this week was a good week for Mike Mularkey. Also, the running game. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus your call, 615-737-1025. Live out at Fitness 1440 today, it's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Murray is the tailback out of the end. He'll run it. Murray tries to get to the corner. Dives DeMarco Murray still in bounds. DeMarco Murray breaks free. Inside the 20. Touchdown.
We needed a big run. We haven't had that this year. Even in the preseason, we haven't had one break like that. This is a good defense. I mean, it's a really, really good defense up front. Very stout. And they are. They've been that way for years.
Floyd, when DeMarco Murray broke that touchdown, he went 75 yards. If I had told you in the first half when they were getting 1 yard, loss of 2 yards, loss of a yard, 2 yards, 1 yard, if I had told you DeMarco's going to bust a 75-yard touchdown and Derek is going to have a bunch of first downs in the second half on the ground, you might have believed me because you're a football guy and you know how these things work. But I guarantee you most fans would not have said, oh, yeah, that's definitely what's going to happen. Was yesterday, in the way the Titans used those two running backs, Henry and Murray, because we've talked at length about those two and about how many carries they should be getting and how often they should touch the ball, was yesterday not exactly how the Titans should use Henry and Murray down the stretch? The way that they used them both, and they were both effective, and they both popped off big plays and big first downs?
Right. I mean, they had the same number of carries.
Yes.
But quite a bit difference in yardage.
DeMarco 14 for 115, Henry 13 for 54.
Yeah.
Then again, the long for Murray was 75. Yeah. So Murray had the one. Murray, the difference between those two, Henry's not going to run a 75-yard touchdown like that.
Right. And that breaks games open, just like it did yesterday. 75-yard run is, I mean, doesn't happen very often. DeMarco, since he's been here, I think I've seen more long runs from him than I've seen, I mean, I can't even remember.
You're like, I mean, Chris Johnson was the last guy that could hit the home run.
I'm talking about 70 yards, you know, 70-plus. So, I mean, the running game was really good to us yesterday. I don't think there's any doubt. But the most important thing was sticking with it. I mean, we talked earlier. You know, at a point in time, we had 10 carries for minus 5 yards. I think that was it. I mean, we could not get a first down. And we talked about how penetration really affects, you know, I think especially Henry. And, you know, it was two-yard loss. And DeMarco had some of those too. DeMarco just has a knack of maybe getting taking a no-gainer and getting 2 yards out of it. That being said, I thought the offensive line, after about the fourth series, I think they started to get a hang of these guys and how they were going to slant and how they were going to loop and how they were going to do some of those kinds of things. I thought we changed the running game a little bit. We brought the fullback in. I think that made a world of difference because he not only was able to pick up an early penetrator, but once he got downfield, now he was hustling. I mean, he was out there blocking folks.
And Seattle was dead tired in the second half yesterday.
Yeah, we just beat. And this is what happens when you can run the ball, run it effectively like that. You just beat them up. I mean, it's like a street fight. And every time they turn around, they're getting punched again. It's just really, really hard, disheartening. If you can run like that every week, I mean, you're going to win a bunch of games.
Well, it's like Chris Sanders always talks on this show about breaking the will of the opponent. In the last 2 weeks, the Titans have clearly broken the will of the opponent. I mean, you had Richard Sherman lose his mind yesterday. You had Jalen Ramsey and the rest of the Jags lose their mind last week. That's what was missing in the Oakland game. was they got away from it because Derek Carr scored a touchdown on the first drive. They got away from that commitment to running those two guys, and it hurt them. And in these two games, they haven't done that. Now they go on the road to Deshaun Watson in Houston, and Houston's defensive front is really good. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to let the Titans run the ball. But eventually it gets to a point to where they're not letting you run the ball. You're running it on them. And that's what the Titans did yesterday because Seattle was not going to let them run the ball. When Pete Carroll came on the show on Wednesday last week, he said, you know, oh, we're all about stopping the run. We're committed to stopping the run. We're going to stop the run. And you turned to me, and I didn't bring this up because I didn't want Pete to get mad at us. But you turned to me and said, Pete's doing that, not for us. Pete's not doing that for us. When Pete went, oh, yeah, Floyd, we're going to stop the run. We know how to stop the run. We had to. You said Pete did that for whoever might be listening out there, i.e. the Titans.
Right.
He wanted them to know, hey, we're going to stop the run. Because he knew that if they didn't stop the run, which in the end they couldn't, they were going to lose the ball game.
And I think that's exactly what happened. You know, they did it but like everybody else, they get a little bit impatient. You know, they start changing up. They start, you know, trying to find a way to get a big play. And I think just like what happened with Jacksonville is those guys start getting frustrated. You know, they're getting pushed around now. I mean, these are big physical offensive linemen, and they're, you know, you've heard me talk about running the ball is a dirty business, and they're getting bloodied up, and they're not liking it. But they don't know how to stop it, or they can't stop it, so what are they going to do? Well, let's get mad. You know, let's hit somebody. Let's get a penalty. Let's do something that's going to hurt the team. Oh, okay, go ahead. You know, it's just what we want.
Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025, Caleb is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Caleb?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. So, not to play devil's advocate, but there's a couple of questionable calls that Taylor Vinsky made yesterday that still really stuck with me, especially in the fourth quarter. I think we're up 30-20, and we're in the red zone. It's like 3rd-and-3. Now, we've had a lot of success running it. He chooses to do like a wild Mario to try to throw it, I think, in the end zone. And had we ran it there, Seattle would have taken their last time out, and B, there's a good chance we could have gotten a touchdown, really iced the game. I feel like if we had lost that game, that's something we would have really looked back on and would have given a lot of flack for. And also, his obsession with sweeps with a running back. You know, I feel like Murray and not Murray necessarily, but especially Henry is not really the best lateral runner, and he just does all these different, you know, exotic plays, and I feel like he gets too cute at times instead of just going with what actually his players excel in. So, that said, still very excited about yesterday. Got my buzz from the win. Hopefully, we can, even though the Houston win, even though going to Houston scares the crap out of me, because I feel like our defense is very successful against the pass. That game worries me, but. Anyways, just didn't know if y'all know if y'all any thoughts on his play calling, if you were a fan of it. So that's all I got, guys.
Thanks, Caleb. Floyd, what do you think?
I really don't remember the 3rd-and-3 play. I don't either. Now I will say this: the bounced outside. I think they started early inside, trying to run it inside. They were getting so much penetration. I think they thought maybe there was a chance they could get outside. I'm not sure that was really successful, but then they went to the third option, which was, at least in my opinion, brought the fullback in and really turned it into a power game. I mean, there were times you'd look down there on the field, looked like a rugby scrum. Mm-hmm. You know, you had all 22 people in just a wad in between the hashes.
I would see them make substitutions, and I would see the fullback Fowler run out there and like a backup tight end run out there, and I'd see Taylor and Matthews come off. And they'd come out, and Decker's the only wide receiver on the field. I'm like, if Decker's the only wide receiver that's out on the field, he's not going to get open. So obviously they're going to run the ball.
Block. Yeah.
And immediately they went right to running the ball. I mean, that's an obvious tell of what they're going to do. And when you know what they're going to do and you can't stop it, that is when you have broken a football team like the Titans broke the Seahawks yesterday.
Right.
I mean, I'm so proud of the Titans. I don't want to lose sight of that in all the individual breakdowns that they get into. Because I can't remember the last time the Titans won a game like this, and I felt this good about how they played. Even last year when they started to win some games, the Kansas City win was great, because it allowed them to kind of get back into the playoff picture. But it was still kind of a kooky win.
And I mean, both of Kansas City and Denver. You know, I think when we talk about last year, those are the two games that we talk about the most. And Seattle is in that arena. You know, I don't think they're quite as good as Kansas City, but maybe better than Denver.
But you needed things to go your way to win those two games. You know, you needed right. Andy Reid to call the timeout before Succop kicked the ball so Succop could say, okay, now I got to kick it as hard as I can. Forget about trying to make it straight. I got to kick it as hard as I can, and then Succop goes up there and nails it. Like, you know, you needed things to go your way in those games. You just beat Seattle yesterday. You know, you beat them. You had things not go right. your way, and you beat them. Questionable holding call takes a touchdown off the board. I thought it was ridiculous that the Seahawks didn't get penalized on the hit of Marcus out of bounds. I thought that was ridiculous. So things didn't go your way, and you still won the game rather handedly, which, dare I say, makes me feel like the Titans are taking another step in the right direction. Let's take your call, 615-737-1025. I'm sorry, I meant to take more calls last segment. I will take more calls this segment, 615-737-1025, live from Fitness 1440, where, once again, they are celebrating their one-year anniversary. Come in today with $14.40 total. That's it. You walk in with $14.40, and you will walk out with a membership. You know, Pete Weber was here when we got here today. Pete Weber is a member of Fitness 1440. And has been a huge, huge fan of what they've done here for him as well. So
good.
Once again, yeah, he does look good.
He does look good.
He's getting in season shape.
There you go.
We got season. He's already – I listened to him and Hal call the game the other night. Formerly, it used to be a YMCA here, but it is right off Harding at 411 Metroplex. That's Fitness 1440. Come on out and see us today and sign up as well. Right to your phones. Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I believe they're as good as they thought they were internally. Now the nation gets the idea. This is a good football team. They can run the football, and they prove to themselves they can run the football against the best defensive fronts in the league because Seattle ranks as that. Mm-hmm. So that's huge for them. And if they're able to run the football against anyone, that makes Marcus Mariota a much better quarterback, throwing off a play action and throwing on downs and distances that they dictate, not what the defense dictates.
Charles Davis on the Fox broadcast yesterday. Floyd, I promised right back to the calls, so I'll do that. But after this first call, I do have one thing I want to get off my chest about the Titans game. Chris is up next here on Jared and the GM on the game. What's up, Chris?
Guys, how's it going? Great show.
Good.
Love to listen.
Thank you.
Just wanted to really give some props to Fowler and Supernaw on that 75-yard run. If you watch the replay from the end zone as they're running to you and see Fowler busting his butt to get back out in front of DeMarco and then seeing Superdahl come in and clean up the secondary inside the 15, it was incredible, exciting game. It's nice to see the team. It feels like they've finally grown into what we've always wanted them to be, and I'm going to hang up and listen, guys. God bless.
I think if I remember correctly, Supernaw on his block down there got about three guys. I mean, they were all wadded up there in a group. He just went down and knocked everybody down.
The best to me was on the Matthews touchdown when Matthews made that spin move and he like ran three Seahawks into each other.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. But Mike did go over the effort over and over again. And that's not like something sexy for us to talk about because they should try hard in every game. But if we sat here and we talked about effort, I mean, they should try hard every game, but I thought Mike was really impressed with how dedicated they were and everything yesterday in the game.
Well, I think, too, you got a view of maybe not quite the same level effort, especially in the second half, from Seattle, and certainly not the same conditioning, at least in my mind.
Mm-hmm. And that's 2 weeks in a row where the conditioning of the other team has kind of been suspect compared to your team, which I'm in favor of. If your team is better conditioned than everybody else, you're going to win a lot of ball games.
Amen.
Now, something that I do want to ask you. Do I need to calm down my excitement for the Titans after this win? Because for some reason, I feel like we're starting to see a corner be turned. That last caller, I kind of think, wrapped that up when he was talking about how great it feels because this feels like the team that he's wanted them to be for a while. And that's what we've wanted to see out of the, all I've wanted for years is the Titans just to look like a decent team where they're not running out either has-beens that can't play at quarterback or guys that simply just aren't franchise quarterbacks no matter how bad you want Jake Locker or Vince Young to be a franchise quarterback. It feels like they have a real quarterback, a guy who doesn't lose them the game, can win them the game, makes the plays. They have a real running game. They protect their quarterback. Their secondary, which has been so bad for so long, is making plays. They are keeping you from losing games as opposed to last year where it was like, oh, dear God, please help us out in that secondary because if you don't with the secondary. Mike talked about the kicking and the punting, said yesterday that they kicked as well as you could kick, punted as well as you could punt. They have a kick returner, a punt returner who can break a touchdown on any play. Do I need to calm down on the Titans, Mr. GM?
Well, yeah, I mean, you obviously do. But I will say this. I think this is what's important. I mean, this is, if you want to get excited about it, I think you can get really excited about this. We didn't start playing like this until probably Denver last year, which was, what, maybe the 14th game, 12th game, something like that. Well, this is the third game. So I think you can get excited about the fact that as we're maturing, all of this is becoming, you know, we're getting to the point where we should be able to go out, you know, next year and play like this from the start. And then maybe you have a chance to really have a special team, you know, something that can jump out there and win well into the double digits as far as number of wins. I mean, this team is still going to go up and down a little bit. I mean, we know that. You just hope that they do it, you know, at the right time well, when it's not going to kill us.
I just look at the record. You know, last year they started the season off 1-3. This week they go to Houston with the opportunity to be 3-1. And the reason I bring that up is if you had started the year 3-1 last season, you would have made the playoffs. You'd have won 11 games. And I'm just looking at it through that lens. Because the back end of the schedule has the Rams and the 49ers and the Jags again. I mean,
the plus is that you're winning. This is the toughest part of the schedule, at least from the offseason. When you look at the offseason, you say, and I think we said the first six games, you know, you're going to have three good teams. You know, you're going to have Miami. You're going to have the Raiders. And then you're going to have Seattle, okay, all playoff teams, and your three division foes. So after six games, if you're sitting here and looking at that and you have done pretty well, then I think it's probably a reason to start getting excited.
How good is Seattle? We talked about this during the week, and we couldn't totally come away with it. I think they're going to win their division. They're probably going to win a playoff game.
I don't know about the playoff game. I think they will win the division. And I think they are a much better team than we saw. They are, I mean, they do not lose at home. So that gives you an 8 wins. So all you have to do is win, you know, two on the road someplace, and you're in the playoffs. You know?
And your competition is L.A., San Francisco, and who's Arizona?
Phoenix,
and they all stink, yeah.
So, I mean, are they among the elite? I'm not sure that we can say that because of the offensive line primarily. But are they better than you know, a lot of teams that we play? Yeah. I mean, better than most of the teams in division and on par with, you know, with the Raiders, I would think, after last night.
You know who I come away from loving when I watch the Seattle play? Baldwin. Doug Baldwin, the wide receiver, I love him. Along the same lines that I love Rishard Matthews, I love Doug Baldwin. Is he a player or what?
Similar guys, similar, you know, not a speed threat, not a just catch the ball, but the most important thing is what you were talking about earlier with Marcus and Matthews. They, Wilson and Baldwin, have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have, like, radar. And so they... And when you talk to quarterbacks that have been around for a while and they can watch a receiver run a pattern and know what he's going to do by the way he fakes, by the way he, you know, he chops his feet, by the way he, whatever it is. And I think that's what Wilson and Baldwin have. And that's what Marcus and Matthews and all receivers, for that matter, are trying to get.
God, I love Baldwin. Robert is up next here as we're live out at Fitness 1440 celebrating their one-year anniversary. What's up, Robert?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Jerry, I heard you a little while ago about talking about giving Malarkin some credit. Well, I don't know. I just have to say, you know, they got to win some more games before I do
you
that.
You do not but like
However, Malarkin. I will say the Titans played a real good game yesterday. I really don't want to say that, but because I'm a Patriots fan. But they played a real good game against a real good team on yesterday. But as far as giving Malarkin credit, I just don't know now.
We can't get there yet.
We might need to wait a little while.
Robert, I want you to call into this show next Monday. I want you to call into this show next Monday if the Titans beat the Texans to go 3-1. And I want you to say that you believe in Mike Malarkey, because Robert calls this show, every time he calls this show, he calls in complaining about Malarkey, so much so that Floyd remembers him.
I did.
I mean, as soon as he's brought up Malarkey, you turn right to me with a big smile.
Yeah, because he hit me with that. Well, Malarkey, I'm not sure. And I thought, aha, I know who this is.
Okay, I've got two big thoughts I want to get to. 615-737-1025 is the number, but I have two big thoughts I want to get to on the Titans yesterday. One, non-anthem-related, which we'll start on, and the second, an anthem-related take. We'll get to that coming up next. Once again, we are live out at Fitness 1440, where they're celebrating their one-year anniversary, and if you come in today to sign up for a new member, it's $14.40. That's right, $14.40 total. You walk in with $14.40. You walk out with a membership. Pete Weber is a member here, and it is a big gym. I mean, it's not just big. It is big. And they've got saunas, and they've got an indoor pool, and they've got a basketball court, and they've got this one area where this one thing that looks like monkey bars, and I was able to do the monkey bars the whole time, Floyd, by the way, but it like goes up and then down and then up and then down, so it's very difficult, but I was able to do it, so you would have been proud of me. But that's all out here at Fitness 1440. What are you looking at?
Cafe. You keep forgetting the cafe.
Oh, yeah, and then, of course, the cafe right here where they got smoothies, salads, sandwiches, supplements, everything. Come on out and check it out today. Fitness 1440. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Watch to the right of your screen. The ball's delivered, but right here is where the flag's going to come in. Richard Sherman tangled up with Eric Decker, and then out the interception, there's Sherman trying to block. That's a flag coming in, and then Sherman is protesting, and I saw the hat come off of the official. So you may get something else that goes tacked on top of this.
Well, now there's a big conversation. He's got to be careful. Sherman's got his helmet off, talking to the officials.
There were multiple fouls during the play, all by the defense. Pass interference. Defense, number 25, that penalty is accepted. During the interception return, holding by number 25 of the defense, that penalty is declined. After the play was over, unsportsmanlike conduct by the defense, number 25, directed towards an official. That penalty also is accepted. That is number 25's first foul for potential disqualification. Tennessee's ball, first down.
Richard Sherman, classic.
Only been in the league 40 years or 35 or whatever it is. I don't think I've ever seen three penalties on one guy on the same play. It seems like it'd be impossible to do, you know? But no, he found a way.
I mean, that's like when someone's getting arraigned, and it's like the people versus Floyd Reese. One count of misdemeanor such and such. One count of. Two counts of. One count of. Three counts of. There you go. It's unbelievable. Richard Sherman, and we're live out at Fitness 1440 celebrating their one-year anniversary today. That guy cannot be on my team. I cannot. I watched him yesterday. He's a great player. He's a very good football player. Everything with him is just, I mean, he had to have the whole team hold him back yesterday.
Yeah.
If this were baseball, he'd have been kicked out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, guys like that become the focal point, and that's the way they want it.
And they cost you games, though.
Yeah, and he wants to be the focal point. And as we saw yesterday, when things are going bad, not probably the guy you want leading.
I mean, you've got Richard Sherman that's going to cost you 15 yards multiple times during the course of a game. As you say, do something you've never seen in 40 years of being in the league, and that's see a guy get three penalties on one play. He holds a weekly press conference, which is essentially Richard Sherman's talk show every week, where it's, you know, some moral issue Richard Sherman's got to discuss. I think everyone looks at Richard Sherman and thinks that he's really smart because he went to Stanford. And I know some, like, I know people that know him from Stanford, and they say he's a great guy and he's all this. He, to me, is a losing football player. You lose games when you have someone like him on your team. He easily could have cost the Seahawks at least 6 points yesterday with the two personal foul penalties that he picked up. And who knows what happened. You know, maybe the Titans did need that spark from Sherman after he hit Taylor, or after he hit Marcus, and he and Taylor Lewan got into it, or whatever it may be. I don't know.
It was certainly a spark, though. I mean, it helped us.
I mean, how often do you think Russell Wilson looks at some of the things Richard Sherman says or does and thinks to myself, dude, can you just give me 10 minutes of where
Shakes
you don't
head.
Have to do something that I have to make up for now?
Well, and it's funny because, you know, Sherman was like a, what was he, a third or fifth round
draft? Fifth round draft.
So you know he didn't come in that way. You know, came in quiet, do your work, you know. And then as he's gotten more and more attention and more, it becomes the most important thing. And that's where the issues really start.
Well, an underthrown pass from Colin Kaepernick has made his career. In the NFC title game, Kaepernick underthrows the football.
Yeah.
Crabtree has him beat on the play.
Yeah.
Underthrows the ball. He tips it back to Earl Thomas. And then Aaron Andrews interviews him afterwards, and he loses his mind because he's, you know, and I'm fine with that interview before the Super Bowl because that was still in the game, you know, on the field and all that. But I just, you know, the penalty, and now he just feels like that's how he should be all the time. He should have been kicked out of the game yesterday.
Well,
he's sitting over there yelling at the refs after they've already thrown a 15-yard penalty on him.
Well, I think, too, again, all of those things become more important than the game, you know, if you're not careful. And he's just about at that point.
Can I get to one thought on the anthem?
Okay.
Before we go right to the calls and the Titans not coming out for the anthem and all that. I have no problem with the Titans not coming out for the anthem. I view the Titans, everything they've done has been, hey, we're going to be unified. We're not going to single anybody out. We're not going to do anything. But the Titans, generally speaking, have not been the team on any front that has kind of led the charge in any of these discussions. Which, personally, considering the fact that football is what I care about the most, and the winning and the losing, and I'm all in favor of. I am all totally in favor of. But I'm sitting there watching these games and watching Sunday Night Football last night, and I have no idea who Amy Adams Strunk voted for, and I don't care who she voted for. And I'm seeing these owners come out against the president, what the president said. And they're the guys that are donating $1 million to the president's inauguration party fund or whatever it is. And you got Dan Snyder standing there locking his arms with the players, and the guy donated $1 million to the president? Or the owner of the Jags who donated $1 million to the president, and he's standing out there and against the president. Like, I don't know how I take that from the owners. Like, I almost find it to be super disingenuous that you're going to donate to the president's fund or whatever it is, whatever the inauguration, and then you're going to come out against the president on something else only because it benefits you to come out against him because you'll lose your entire team if you don't.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're not going to agree. If you elect somebody, you're not going to agree to every single thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are going to be some things you're not going to agree with. And obviously for these guys, this is one of those. I mean, I think it's, I mean, the president was not very complimentary to, you know, their business. And if you're one of the 32 owners and you've got, you know, over $2 billion on the line, I think you would side with the $2 billion. I would.
Alabama Vandy, by the way, I don't know what the number is, but apparently that delivered the worst rating for an Alabama game in over a decade. That game on CBS, that's from Matt Jones at KY Sports Radio, Kentucky Sports Radio on Twitter. Let's go to your phones. Mike is up next on the Titans game. Thank you for calling, and you go ahead, Mike.
Gentlemen, real quick, it's my last week. I've loved listening to you guys for over 3 years, all the way back to the Stillman and Callahan days and the Sports Night with George Plaster. I wish you guys continued success. You guys are awesome. The Titans game.
Where are you going,
my question,
Mike?
Is, I'm going to Korea for a year.
Oh, all right. Can you stream us in Korea?
I will do my best, and I will see if I can get on over there. But I will.
And
I'll
which
see what
Korea?
I mean,
I have a guess of which Korea, but which Korea?
South.
Okay, I figured it would be South.
The one that I'm allowed to go to.
So. Okay, yeah.
The game on Sunday, obviously a huge win over a Super Bowl champion and a perennial Super Bowl contender. So I was wondering if you guys could speak to the difference in a win like that for a team over a Super Bowl champion versus like a regular season win overall or like a division opponent. Is there kind of a difference in the momentum that gives the team going forward, and is that different in the locker room and in the organization? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike, and best luck and safe travels in Korea.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, but that is a little bit, you know, another feather in your cap. I mean, it's a bigger deal. Maybe not necessarily a division winning team like this week when we play Houston, simply because they've won the division so many times over the last, you know, X number of years. But I think when you can go out and beat somebody that's a Super Bowl champion and somebody that has won as many games as Seattle has won lately, and you know, a whole list of star players, I think it gives you a little bounce in your step. It sure does.
Let's go to Steve, who's up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Hey, great victory. You know, I love to see the Seattle Seahawks fans scurry like roaches when we whoop them. But that's a big, smart, physical club, and they like to play mind games. And after they hit Marcus, the block party was on, and they was hitting him in that heat and ended up breaking a foot off. And I love it.
I'll say this, Steve. I appreciate the call. Someone who was in the crowd, I mean, there were a lot of Seahawks fans there yesterday, and there's nothing better than when your team wins and it sends those fans home unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of Seahawks fans there, but the moment this is going to sound nerdy or weird or whatever, but when they threw that flag out there for intentional grounding and the place erupted, I was like, this feels like a real football crowd in a football game with a football team. And that's how we like to do things.
And I think it'll only, you know, get better. Floyd, especially if we can keep winning.
Floyd, I'm handing you a piece of paper right now.
Okay.
Because I see that you have nothing to write on, so I'm handing you that right there. Because coming up next, the three things you did like and the three things you didn't like from Sunday's game with the Titans, we have a loaded 5 o'clock hour. We have that. We also have not gotten into UT, and we got to do that as well. We are live at Fitness 1440. It's Jared and the GM on a Reaction Monday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.